الله الذي كتب على نفسه أن رحمته تسبق غضبه. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. اللهم إنا نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك، والصلاة والسلام على الرحمة المهداة والشفاعة المرجاة نبي المحبة والهدى والرشاد نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعلينا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. All praise to Allah who has written upon himself that his mercy supersedes his wrath. O Allah, we praise you a praise that is equal and parallel to your majesty and of your stature. O Allah, we bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship besides you, alone without partners. And peace and prayers be upon the gifted mercy to mankind and to the world, the one whose intercession is longed for in the hereafter, the prophet of love, of guidance, and of righteousness, our prophet, leader, and beloved Muhammad, his family, his companions, and upon those who follow the guidance until the day of judgment, and upon us with them, with your mercy, our most merciful. عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته. O servants of Allah, I advise you and myself first to have consciousness in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey His commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent many prophets and messengers. And with every prophet and messenger that He sent, He enabled them or gave them tools and characteristics that will best fit their message, their people, their social ills, and their time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, Al-Khalil. Seeing that Ibrahim alayhi salam was casted out from his people, which is the area of Iraq nowadays. And he traveled from that area all over to nowadays Egypt, passing by Jordan, Syria, and all these areas. And as every time he settles in an area and he calls the people to righteousness, they cast him away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew him near to himself and called him Al-Khalil, the one who was chosen to be the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like when we say Fulan, Khalil, Fulan, a person so-and-so is the Khalil of so-and-so, meaning that that's his best friend, the one who is closest to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew Ibrahim closer to him. And through Ibrahim alayhi salam, we have the rest of the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the people. All the messages that came after him were from Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's something Allah gave to Ibrahim. So we have a time that came after where oppression was rampant. And it was to the point where people have given up. They had this attitude of defeat. They're not even trying to uplift this oppression from themselves. They have given up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to send somebody who was strong and to give him a strength that will come directly from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sent Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. And we know the story when Musa alayhi salam was traveling with his pregnant wife, was on the verge of giving birth. They needed shelter, they needed help, they needed strength. And he saw this glimpse of light, and he saw fire when he went to it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly to give him that strength that he needed to go take it back to his people. So we know the story how it continues when Musa alayhi salam threw down his staff and it turned into a big serpent or a snake. And out of fear, he fled. He turned around and started running. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him back, Ya Musa, la takhaf. Moses, do not be afraid. Come and have the strength, take this matter into your hand, and Allah will help you and protect you through it. Symbolic of what the people were going through. They needed to take things in their own hands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Kaleemullah, the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to directly, to have him that, to give him that strength, to give him that moral support where he can go and shake the people out of the defeat that they are in. So some time more passed, and people got the law that Musa alayhi salam brought in, but they became rigid, their heart became hardened, and they became materialistic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them who? Ruhu Allahi wa kalimatuh, the spirit of Allah and His word, Isa alayhi salam, to bring that spirituality back to their life, to bring them out of their rigidness that they had. And now we have, after that, the seal of the prophets and the messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So what was the special characteristic that Allah called him by? What was the nickname that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that will give us a glimpse of into the solution Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended through him? We have Ibrahim alayhi salam, al-Khalil, the one who's called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa, Kalimullah, the one whom Allah spoke to directly, Isa alayhi salam, Ruhullah wa kalimatu, the spirit of Allah and His word. Then we have our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named him or nicknamed him Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. And just to clarify, Al-Habib is something that is more encompassing and more broad than Al-Khalil, because Al-Khalil is between two individuals. So in this case, it's between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whereas Mahabba, the love, can cover more and encompasses more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through His love, the love spreads into the world. I mean, if you look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that he's the last messenger and prophet. So we know that he's sent to all the people that come after him. People from different backgrounds, different places, different time periods, different understandings. All these differences, nothing can bring it together except the love. Nothing can bring all these differences together but love. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Habib, His beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Because through time and through age, we know that the reasons or the causes of hatred is numerous. And likewise, the causes and the reasons for love is numerous. And you cannot defeat the hatred except with that love. So we see the Prophet ﷺ was sent, and you have the people in Medina, which was at the time called Yathrib, and the Prophet ﷺ nicknamed it or changed the name to Tayba, and we also know it as Medina, being the enlightened city. The people that lived in it, the Aus and the Khazraj, the two tribes of Aus and Khazraj, they are actually cousins. They stem from one tribe. They have one grandfather back, if you trace it back, from Yemen. These people warred for 40 years continuous. 40 years. They used to fight and kill each other. They're cousins. Keep that in mind. They used to be to the point where they can't stand each other. There's no house that was safe from being harmed and having somebody that was murdered in that house. No house was safe. So they had this animosity and hatred to each other where they couldn't even stand each other. So they were at war for 40 years until Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to them. And look at this transformation. From me not being able to stand my own cousin, and I fight him at the smallest time where I'm agitated, to the point where they had the love not only for their cousins, but for the people who migrated from Mecca that had no relationship with them whatsoever, to the point where they put their needs, the people of Mecca, before their own. SubhanAllah. To the point where the people, and we know the stories if you read the seerah, where people will migrate from Mecca, and the people of Aus and Khazraj will tell them, you don't have anything, you've lost your wealth, you've lost your family, I have some. Take whatever you want. Free for all is open. Take as much as you want. Not need, but as much as you want. SubhanAllah, look at this transformation. And it cannot be done except with the love that the Prophet ﷺ brings. Now there was an instance when Shaytan saw an opportunity and he took it. Took advantage of it to the fullest. Some of the people of Aus and Khazraj were sitting down talking. They start reminiscing, as people do. Remember the good old days, right? So they were talking and one person brought up the wars. He said, remember when we used to fight and we had this battle and with this battle, we give you a hard blow. We used to give it to you. So now emotions are coming to play and Shaitan is starting to whisper. How is he going to talk like this about your tribe? He's making you look weak and all these things. So the answer was, you didn't give us no blow. We actually killed so-and-so. We killed so-and-so in that battle. So we won. Now, anger is flaring up. Emotions are intense. So the answer was no. We actually killed your leader. We killed so-and-so. We killed so-and-so. So this time through this verbal fight, who was winning and who gave the others the worst losses. So people were getting to the point where they are so angry. They have vivid memories. 40 years of war. Now they are reliving all this anguish, all this. This guy has killed my father. This guy has killed my brother. And so on. And this anger is coming back. They are reliving that dark part of their history. So people start calling their comrades. They are calling their backup. Or people of the Aus, come give me backup. People of the Khazraj, come back me up. People start going, taking their weapons, and they come and they stand in line about to go to war. Just like back in the days. Shaitan have came between them, fled their anger, this grudge, this malice between them to the point where you are not my brother, you're not my cousin, I don't care, I'm taking you down for the pain that you've caused me. You've taken some of my rights, you've done this to me, I am taking it with my own hand. At this instance, Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in. He saw his companions standing in rows. They're about to go to battle and kill each other. And he said one line that I want you to pay close attention to. One line. He said, أَدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانِيكُمْ دَعُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا مُنْتِنَةً. That's all he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, أَدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, you calling the call of ignorance, وَأَنَا بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانِيكُمْ, while I am amongst you, دَعُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا مُنْتَى, leave it alone, for it is putrid, it is vile. That's all he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is, you call the call of ignorance, calling each other with this call of ignorance that you had, while I'm amongst you, leave it alone, for it is putrid or vile. Now we know that the Prophet, why did the Prophet call it ignorance? He called it that because people were pumping each other to the call of taking back their rights or taking back the wrong that they have been wrong. But through anger, through calls of grudge, through malice, hatred was the cause. It was the underlying cause that got the people pumped up. And that is the call of ignorance. Now, it's supposed to be done to call each other to get rights back or to help lift off some oppression or get some harm off. But we should do that for the love of the truth itself and for the righteousness itself and not through hatred. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ called it the call of ignorance. And the people that used to do that were the likes of Hind bint Utbah. She was the wife of Abu Sufyan. In the Battle of Uhud, she used to go between the ranks of the disbelievers. And she used to give some lines of poetry, reminding the people that the last battle of Badr, they gave us some hard losses. They have killed her father, her brother, her uncle, and she started naming names. Al-Walid, Abu Jahl, and all these people, you have to avenge them. That was the thing that she used to pump them up. Not because it's the right thing to do, but because I've suffered some losses, they have to suffer some losses. The attitude of malice and anger was motivated. So that's the Prophet, that's the thing that the Prophet ﷺ was trying to get them to see as something that is ignorant. Brothers, I ask you if you have some room to move up, inshallah, so we can have some room to move up. So now, Hind bint Utba is going around not only telling the people that we have suffered some losses and we need to avenge it, but making it real to them by bringing articles of clothes for the people who passed and was killed. This is the clothes that my father wore. This is the clothes that Abu Jahl wore. You're going to let this go in vain? You have to take this back and. Motivating the people to do more harm just for the sake of harm. Even more so, she hired somebody to kill Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu wa Allah, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because at the Battle of Badr, when her father and brother and uncle came out and asking people, who can fight me? Who can fight me? Hamza radiallahu anhu, you know, came up and he defeated and killed her father. So she felt this grudge. I want this man dead. I don't care if he's right or wrong, I want him dead. So she hired Wahshi. And once Wahshi killed him with a spear, after the battle was done, she said, show me. I want to see his body with my own eyes. This anger in her heart, she wanted to fulfill something. She wanted to feel that she had dealt this blow back to Hamza. Show me his body. So he took her and they walked around between the bodies until they found his body, Hamza. And she still didn't feel that was satisfactory. Not enough. The anger, once it becomes the motivating factor for a person to do something, the person becomes like a ball of fire that burns everything around him. There is no logic, no reason, no evidence that will change the person's mind. He is blind to the truth. All he sees or she sees is the anger. All they see is this grudge that I need to take my right back. Any way or means necessary. So that's what she did. And she said, that's not enough. Seeing him dead is not enough. You want your money? Get him open. Cut him open. Cut his ears and nose off. He did that. I want my money. Not enough. This burning desire of anger is not satisfied. Got him out, take his liver out. She asked him to cut a piece of it, and she started to chew that piece. Look at how low she got because of the anger and malice that she had in her heart. And even that wasn't enough, but there's nothing more to do. That's it. You can't stoop lower than that. So she had to leave it alone, although the anger was still there. Now, we go back to the story where the companions were about to fight, and the Prophet said what he said. Sometimes, when we come with this anger and this malice and this grudge that we have and hold sometimes, that person, like I said, sometimes becomes to the point where he is blinded to the truth, or she is blinded to the truth. They can't see, and sometimes we're in the situation as well, we can't see right from wrong. We are blinded with this anger. So sometimes you say, Allah said this and His Messenger said that, I don't care. Reason said this, I don't care. They come blinded. So in this instance, we look at the companions. They were blinded with anger. They remembered, they relived time where they were killing each other and they saw their relatives being murdered by the same people in front of them. So anger have to be at the highest level. So how did the Prophet ﷺ with one sentence completely put that fire out? If you look at his statement, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first he informed them of something. أَدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ You call the call of ignorance. So he called to their attention that is ignorant. But to get them to receive that and actually act upon it, what did he bring to their mind? وَأَنَا بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانِيكُمْ While I am amongst you. That's the thing that the Prophet ﷺ used to get them to listen to the advice that he's given, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to bring to their mind that he is still amongst them. And what does that mean to them? He is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the person that they all claim, and we also claim that we love him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than we love ourselves. So how can we listen to our own desires better than we listen to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he's calling to their attention. Am I not the most beloved to you? Am I not most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So how can you answer the call of hatred when the call of love was in between? You cannot really accept the call for love and then answer the call of hatred at the same time. Only one can occupy your heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings this to their minds and brings this love to their hearts and get them to completely put the fire of anger out. And that's what we have to do. By remembering and understanding and knowing the love of Umar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and know the love that we have for him and his to us as well. That we have to live, truly live and understand. And we can see how it manifested also with Hind bin Utbah, the one who that Hamza radiallahu anhu killed in this heinous acts with his body. Not even 6 years later after that incident, less than 6 years, this woman walks into the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Less than 6 years later, she walks in, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the woman who caused him to see his own uncle with his ears, nose cut up, and his body completely mutilated. He saw this with his own eyes sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sees this woman who caused all of this. All this pain. So she comes in to do what? To say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. I bear witness that there is nothing but no God but Allah and that you are the Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his love, accepted her. Accepted her. He had to put that behind. That is it. She accepted Islam. The slate is clean. That anger is out. Even more so, that day the Prophet ﷺ gave her and her husband something that distinguishes him from everybody else. The day of the conquest of Mecca, when he called out that anybody who enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe. Even more so, he gave her son Muawiyah something that was not given only to a few people. He was made one of the scribes that used to write the revelation from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever Jibreel used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and give him ayat from the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a few, but 6 or 7 people that used to write the Quran when it's revealed. He made her son one of those. Subhanallah, this is the prophetic teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see the lessons that we have learned from that still exist till this day. I mean, how else can you have somebody that can stand up here and say, may Allah be pleased with a woman that killed his own grandfather? That cannot be done except with this lesson that we learned from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is what we have to use. That's the tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help and guide mankind after him. For everybody that comes, that have to be done. That's why we are called the Ummah, the nation of love. Or shall I say, we should be called the nation of love. But sometimes we don't really act like it. Sometimes we don't manifest that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed that love and mercy to any person that met him, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. And sometimes when we talk about love and mercy, we restrict that to our brothers and sisters in Islam. And we forget our brothers and sisters in humanity. We forget every living being that we have on this earth and inanimate objects. The Prophet ﷺ acted upon all of that. We need to really study his seerah and know him. We cannot really love a person without really knowing that person. How can I claim to love you if I don't know you? I don't know anything about your life. I can't really claim to really love you unequivocally or unconditionally. I have to get to know you a little bit. At least enough to actually have that love for you. And that's what we have to do with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to really study his seerah. Because a lot of people are ignorant of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we actually fall into that as well. Not just non-Muslims who speak ill of our Prophet, but even ourselves, sometimes we, wallahi, do more disservice to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than non-Muslims. Wallahi, by our character sometimes, we are ambassadors for Islam. We are ambassadors of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the things that we spit out of our mouths, are the things that we do, wallahi, give misrepresentation of Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that can be the worst thing that can be done. More than the people who are non-Muslims and curse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we deal the greater harm. We deal the lowest blows. So we have to really study our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and get to know him. Get to know the person who showed that love and mercy to his companions, showed that love and compassion even to his adversaries and enemies and those who wanted to kill him. Isn't he the one that makes sure that everything that was entrusted with him was given back to the people who on the same night were trying to assassinate him in his bed? Isn't he the same person who was going with a huge army going to Mecca? He sees a little dog that just gave birth to his puppies. And what does he do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He saw the distressed look of the dog because the puppies were just born. There's no time for the dog to take all the puppies away and the army is moving. With his mercy, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he designated a person to stand by that dog, make sure that she does not get trampled. That love and mercy is for the world. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, a mercy for all the worlds. So we really have to study him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order for us to really get to know him, in order for us to really live that moment and his saying when he said, while I am amongst you. Because he is amongst us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His uswa, his way and his seerah is there. We can relive it by knowing it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and give us the patience and to follow and adhere to the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to receive the love that he has gotten from the Most High subhanahu wa ta'ala that's supposed to come down to us. And once we receive it, we give it back into the world as we are commanded to do. Astaghfirullah, seek Allah for his forgiveness. الحمد لله الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض وهو على كل شيء قدير, وصلى الله وسلم على نبيه الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise to Allah, to whom belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Surely he is over everything, is constant, and peace and blessings be upon the unlettered and noble prophet of Muhammad, his family, and upon his companions. Brothers, also if you have some more room, try to make more room, inshallah, for this. Now we talked about this love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we also have to know that we cannot just profess our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not have the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made or mentioned our love for him in the ayah when he commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, say to them, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you claim or if you say that you love Allah, if you really love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah will love you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it as a manifestation for our love for him that we follow his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, it is a condition for his special love for us because of our belief, is that we follow his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a condition of Allah's love for us. So we have to understand that. We have to really spend the time, like I said, to study our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, which is today is the last day of, the month where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, is just passed. But it shouldn't be the only time where we study our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or mention his name or remember his seerah or study him. We should go on and move on from here. We should get ourselves familiar with how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked like. I mean, if you love a person and you've never seen that person, don't you feel the burning desire to see him? Doesn't matter who that beloved is. But if you love something or you love someone, there's a burning desire to see them, to see that person, to see that thing. So don't we have long to see our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do we even have to wait? When we can study his characteristics, how he looked. No one in human history was described as much as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one in human history where every detail of life was recorded. So we have no excuse whatsoever. Even the Sahaba who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of love for him, his own grandkids, Al-Hasan and Hussein, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them. When they grew up a little bit, they used to come to their uncle, Hala, or Hind, I'm sorry, their uncle, maternal uncle Hind, the son of Khadija. Also, you may have never ever heard that Khadija had a son outside of, before getting married to the Prophet. But she had a son, Hind, who used to describe people very well. So Al-Hasan, or Al-Hussein, radiallahu anhum, used to come. Al-Hussein radiallahu anhu came one time and he's narrating this narration. He said, I came to my uncle Hind and I asked him, can you describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam description that I can get myself attached to? He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to play on his back when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to carry him very often. But still he wanted to hear a description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so he can get himself attached to that description. And he said, when I heard, when his uncle gave him the description, detailed description of how the Prophet ﷺ looked, he said, I ran to my brother Al-Hasan, trying to tell him that I got a new description, something so we can remember the Prophet ﷺ by. And I found out that a few days before he asked my uncle the same question. That's the kind of love they have for the Prophet ﷺ, that longing they had to see him again. Shouldn't we have that as well? To study his characteristics, to study his behavior. The things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ennobled him by. The things that got him to be this mercy to mankind and to the world. We have to really study that. There are many books that can enable that. There are many classes that are offered all over the place. And we have to take advantage of that. So we have books like Al-Rahiq al-Makhtum, The Sealed Nectar. A very good book. We have books of Seerah by Martin Lings and Haytham and so on. But those are small books. We should start there. If you have read it, read it again. Study it with others. And if you have done so over and over, then move on to something bigger. Those books of Sirah are condensed. They are actually written either to non-Muslims, those who want to know Islam, or to those who just started learning about Islam. So we should start there and graduate from that. You have books of Sirah that was written that is 10 or even 12 volumes long. Each volume we're talking about 600-700 pages. And that's still not it. We have every detail of the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and wallahi, it is his right upon us to study it. It is his right upon us to study his seerah, to know how we should deal with one another, to know how we should deal with those who oppose us, to know how to deal with living things, and to know how to deal with inanimate objects the way that we are supposed to. So we can actually be true ambassadors of Islam to the world. To actually have the love, to actually receive it, so we can actually give it back. Because if we don't have it, we cannot give it to no one else. So we have to attain it. So brothers and sisters, I ask you, I beg you, study the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Study, not just read it. It's not a novel that we just read it and it sounds good, it's entertaining, it's a bedtime story. No. We should make it entertaining for the youth who need entertainment value of it, in it. And it's there. But we should really study it and get to know our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I urge you. That's something that has to be done. We have to study him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Study the seerah. Make it something that you will do at least once a week. Set up a time, you and your family, you and your brother, you and your camaraderie, you and your sisters, sit down together, we have this time and this day, we're going to study our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Study his seerah and get to know him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who get the guidance and act upon it. And may Allah make us from among those who hold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most loved, and as well as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than ourselves, more than our wealth, more than our family and more than anything else that we have in this life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow that love to come through us and manifest through us, inshaAllah. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Oh Allah, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us, and give us from within your mercy. Surely you are a sustainer. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us good in this life and good in the next, and protect us from the hellfire. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ بك منه نبيك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله we ask you from the best that your messenger and beloved Muhammad have asked of you. والله we seek refuge by you from the worst that your messenger and prophet Muhammad have sought refuge by you from. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وأقم الصلاة.